A unique podcast taking a look behind the curtain of a contemporary culture scene with the artists, icons, and people working in the creative industry. What does their artistic process look like in terms of the current situation? All that and more in a moment.
Hello guys, and welcome to our brand new podcast channel. This episode is going to be more about the DJing, and our today's guest is a woman and very talented DJ, Farhana. Welcome.
Hi everyone.
Farhana is a DJ based in London. Her DJ sets are full of energy and funky elements, and we could have seen her playing in the Behind the Decks, Radio Lovertone UK, Foundation FM, and she won an Ava Emerging contest in 2020, which opened the door for her to play at Ava Festival 2021 and many other events and festivals. So we are going to discuss all these things today as well, and I'm very excited that we can have you here. So welcome again. And my first question is, actually, you were growing up in England, so how did you first get in touch with the electronic music?
Yeah, okay, so I kind of started getting involved more in, like, listening to electronic music actually when I went to university. And because it's like obviously kind of a bit more of a party scene than like school and stuff. And there was quite a lot of events. I went to Loughborough University, which is like a small little town in England. It's very small, but the actual like electronic and DJ scene is really big, and like there's a big kind of community feel. So I used to go to a lot of the events at Loughborough University, different events called like DB, Lost in Music. And from that, I started off actually like just being like a tickets rep, selling tickets for these events. And then I kind of like got more involved with them. And as I was getting more involved, I was like, oh, I want to get involved in the DJing as well. And it kind of all grew from there.
Great. Yeah, it's a way. So great. And and now you're in London, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so could you describe how the music scene looks there, and actually how do you see the scene there?
Yeah, so obviously it's been odd because I moved to London like during this pandemic and everything, but London itself, it's like it's so big, and like I think there's so much going on, like there's always different events. I've been lucky during the pandemic, I've managed to go to some kind of not like proper club events yet because they haven't happened yet, but like sit down events, and like there's just such a variety of music, I think. And I've also managed to play at Brixton Courtyard, and I'm playing there again next month, so it's quite exciting. There's always a lot of variety going on, definitely in London.
Great, that's amazing. Great, so we are excited we can hear you. Like it will be online, right? Or just like event?
It's an actual event, but it's like great. People sitting down in tables still because of the different rules in the UK at the moment.
Okay, great. Okay, so you play mostly techno and disco, right? When did you start to love these types of music, and why are you fond of them?
Yeah, so I guess with disco music, that was kind of like my parents as well. They like the kind of the disco's music, the 70s music, also 80s music, but like for DJing and stuff, disco music I think is better. And so that was always kind of inside me. I was always like drawn to that, and I love like this kind of funky music. And then as I guess I grew as a DJ, so I've been DJing for about 3 years, and as I started like kind of learning more about DJing and stuff, I was really drawn to this kind of darker like techno music, and I found that was the kind of music where I could really like dig for songs, and like I really enjoyed that side of it as well. I think it's like people don't often expect that from me, that like when I first started DJing at uni, people just expected the kind of disco music, but then I was like liking the other side as well.
Great, yeah, it's music for a dance, yeah, techno's too, but funky music is more like,
There's the different kind of moods to them as well.
Yeah. Actually, these two genres, it's like inspire you, I think. But do you have some other genres which inspire you also?
Oh, that's a really good question. Like, in a way, I guess, because before I went to uni and stuff, like, I know this isn't really, like, maybe not what you're asking, but, like, when I was younger, I used to be, like, very, like, into classical music because I was, like, in an orchestra and stuff. So I was like that. But I also like kind of bringing, like, tribal elements, just different elements into the music I play as well. I feel like even with, like, disco and techno, and I've kind of said they're different, you can also mix them together, if that makes sense. Like, definitely having that kind of funky sound within both. Just, like, any house music in general, I think, is always good fun. Yeah, so that's kind of my vibe. I'm not as keen on, like, things like drum and bass or bass line, but, like, I would still listen and appreciate those kind of DJs as well. But it's probably not something I would play personally as much.
It's just for a listen, right? Okay.
Great. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Actually, you can also find some jazzy moods in house music. And
yeah, definitely. Like
you can connect it for sure. And what could we find in your playlist right now? Like, what's your actual things what you listen?
Oh, that's such a good question. Like, I have such a range of playlists. Okay, I'll give you, like, my favorite disco song, but this is, like, a kind of old song. But if I'm, like, say even if you want to wake up in the morning, I listen to this song called 1979, It's Dancing Time by Revanche. I think that's how you say it.
Okay.
And it's just a really, really groovy song, and that, like, kind of gets me up. And then there's kind of, like, other music as well, like, yeah, my playlist, I think I kind of try to do my playlist by genre as well, so, like, you'll have the different playlists for, like, almost different mood. I think everyone does that.
Sure.
But yeah,
I mean, I'm the same. So sure. How do you prepare your playlist for your DJ sets?
Yeah, so it's a similar thing. I know, like, not all DJs like Spotify, but I do quite enjoy Spotify just to, as a starting point to find songs, because I actually like how on Spotify, the more you listen, the more they, like, suggest songs for you as well. I think that's really neat. And like, it's interesting because each week, if I listen to, like, one type of music more, the next week the songs they suggest are, like, way more that type, and, like, it switches so much. So at the moment it's actually quite house music based, purely because the thing I'm doing in Brixton Courtyard next month, I'm going to be playing more house music actually, so that's why it's, like, gone to that. The other thing I like to do is definitely, like, SoundCloud, YouTube, and also, like, trying to listen to some of my friends, because a lot of my friends are trying to get into, like, the producing scene. So always trying to see if they've got, like, obviously they're my friends, so if they have a good song, like, I will play it because I'm actually like the song as well. And if I think that song's good enough, I'm going to play it. So, yeah.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Just kind of different things there.
Okay, so what do you think makes a good DJ set?
Oh, okay, so a good DJ set is definitely, I'd say, listening to, like, it's changed again, hasn't it? Like, the pandemic and stuff. But say you were doing, like, a normal kind of DJ set in front of people, it's definitely also listening to how people react to your music and stuff, because especially when I was, like, first starting off with DJing, I would think that, oh, it's my time to DJ, I can just play whatever I want. And then I'd play a song, and if it's, like, too heavy and it's not right for the crowd, you can kind of see them, like, oh. So you have to quickly change the song back and stuff. But I've definitely got way better as that. It's just a kind of thing of practicing as well. What I try to do as well, I don't, like, plan every single song. I think that, because I have friends who aren't DJs and they ask me, like, oh, do you have to, like, plan every single song you're going to play? And I'm like, no, I don't do that. What I kind of do is, like, I pick, like, okay, this is, like, a playlist which will be, like, potential starting songs. These are kind of, like, ooh, the energetic song. It sounds so weird, but that's how I kind of greet them, like, energetic songs, kind of filler songs, just, you know, you don't want it to be high energy the whole time either. You want it to be like kind of telling a story, almost, like a nice start, and then, like, because if it's high energy the whole time as well, people will be like, whoa, 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 no time to breathe or to drink or whatever. So definitely, yeah, like, sure. Have a mix of that. And yeah, that was one thing, especially with the ABA contest. I literally, like, kind of planned out, like, okay, these are my energetic songs. These are my, like, filler songs. This is, like, potential finishing songs. And then when it got to the day, I just went with it and, like, picked a couple songs from each playlist as it was going. So not too planned out, but, like, kind of a little bit of a structure, I guess.
Great. Yeah, that's why you won, actually. I mean, it's great strategy. I mean, it's really, really good, as you said, to listen to people energy or to see how they react and, you know, kind of play with their minds.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, okay. And how did you get your first serious gig and how was it for you?
So my first serious gig was probably playing with DB, which again is a like brand in Loughborough, but they're kind of like world known now, like in the Midlands of England. They're actually doing some events in London in summer, which I'm also going to get involved with. So that's really good. I've kind of kept that connection. And again, the way I got it was just from uni. Like, I started off like being like a tickets rep and stuff, and that's how I got involved with the events. And then I kind of, I guess, worked my way up and actually was like, yeah, I'm interested in DJing, but I had to kind of show I could DJ first. And like, once I was, people knew, oh, she actually can DJ, that's how it kind of went on to, yeah, you can DJ at these events as well.
Great. So, yeah, sure. That's great. What do you consider your greatest success yet?
So I think we've already touched on this, so it's kind of obvious. Yeah. What I'm gonna do. But yeah, definitely last summer winning the competition. Obviously the only thing with like that is that it was, as we said, in a pandemic, which is why it's not till this year and now in September that I'm getting to play at the festival. But yeah, that's so exciting. Like, it's kind of, it's really helped me. And like, even though it's been like everything that's happening in the world, I've tried to like just keep myself going like virtually and like doing online mixes and stuff instead.
Yeah, great. Yeah, AVA is amazing. So I absolutely understand. And speaking of AVA festival, how did you find out about the AVA contest and how did you apply? I mean, you were following AVA before, like a festival?
Yes. So I was obviously like, I'd be interested in the event and like, because they do different events, not just like the Belfast one. And I think, how long was I going now actually? Because obviously there was like no events last year really. I think it was 2019. I went to they did an event in London and I went to that and I managed to bring some friends along. I was like, oh, this is so, so cool. And then I remember following it because the year before I saw, because they actually live streamed it the year before because it was like all no restrictions and stuff, but they live streamed the competition. I actually watched it and I was like, wow, that's really cool. I want to do this. And then obviously last year when they announced they were doing the competition again, I just like, because following their social media and stuff, that's how I found out about it. And I entered, and I think I entered as well like on the day before the deadline. It was like, wow. Oh, like, and yeah, and then it was I don't know how long it was, but I just remember basically the way I found out, it's quite interesting. I found out because suddenly people started following me on my Instagram. And all these people started following me and I was like, what is happening? And then I saw the announcement myself because I wasn't going online. And then I got like the email contact and everything. So wow, I kind of like great. Found out before they actually told me directly.
Yes, that's cool. I mean, I know that AVA do a collaboration with Printworks in London. I saw it.
Yeah, that was the way I went.
That's pretty cool. I'm always like, I want to go there. I want to be there. Why I'm not living in London, you know? Because we don't have that much events like this in Slovakia because we are small. But when I was in AVA, it was like great for me to see every single DJ there and the energy of people in Ireland. And, you know, we actually, I was there with my mom. We were at a festival and we met there like people from Brazil or Spain. And I was like, wow, this is cool. Like from everywhere, you know, and it was great. So,
yeah, I agree. Like it's crazy because there's actually so many DJs that come from Northern Ireland. And it probably is in part because they have this really seriously good festival that, like you said, it's known quite like globally now. And like the talent there is really, really seriously good.
Yeah, sure. I absolutely agree. So actually, so you are going to play this year.
Yeah.
And in September. So are you excited? I think.
I'm so excited. Like it's really, really huge. And also with the competition. Yeah. So I didn't really explain how the competition worked. Basically, yeah, so you had to send a 30-minute mix in, first of all. That was kind of the stage one. And then they picked three finalists, and the final was in Belfast, and we DJed. And between us DJing, they also played... There was three finalists for the producers, and they played, like, their tracks. And that the tracks were so good. And, like, the guy who's won, he's playing at ABA Festival as well, Carton. And like, his track was really insane. Because they had, I think they'd already picked the winners for the tracks beforehand, but they didn't know who was going to win until they arrived, obviously. And I know that Bicep actually judged the producers, the tracks, so that's really big. And then they also had three visual artists who did, like, the visual art as well. So, honestly, they're, like, really good at supporting new talent, I think, which is really good.
That's absolutely amazing. I mean, it's great. And also, I didn't know that Bicep was judging. It's that, wow. And my another question is mostly about co-working. So if you could work with any artist of any genre, who would that be?
Oh my gosh, that's such a huge question. Like, any artist of any genre. Oh, wow. Like... Yeah, I've mentioned that I really like Nils Frams. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Who is kind of, he's an artist who, basically, I remember him because he's like classical music, but also like electronic music, like kind of bridging those two gaps. And I was going to say I've seen him perform. I've seen him perform on YouTube. I've watched YouTube videos.
Great.
And that is insane. Like, he's really cool, so I think he's someone who's very talented, so yeah, maybe him. He could teach me some cool things because I think that he's really talented.
Nice. Great. Okay, and are you a fan of B2Bs, or do you like to play them more than standalone sets, or did you try it before?
Yeah, so this is interesting actually, because I was thinking about B2Bs, and like I haven't done that many B2Bs. Yeah, I guess it's again because I'm like kind of a new DJ, like professionally, I guess. But when we were at uni, some of the events we would all have our different slots, and then the last hour would be like three of us or whatever, back to back kind of thing. And I remember doing that, and it was so fun. It was just like everyone was like trying to get more and more hyped, and we were all just playing like classic house song kind of things, throwing in like, I don't know, ABBA as well, like disco. And great. It was just like, it wasn't like, I guess, well, I was gonna say it wasn't serious, but it was like, it was really fun, and like, again, a really, really good energy because everyone was like, ooh, good vibes, good songs, like. Yeah, so I would like to do more back-to-backs. And I think as well, the thing with back-to-backs is that you can also, you can steal the other person's songs. I was going to say that's really cheeky. But you can definitely, it kind of pushes you to both like be picking similar songs and like exciting songs. But yeah, I haven't actually done that many back-to-backs myself yet.
I tried it once and it's kind of, you have to connect with that person, kind of, just to, okay, you're playing this, so what's gonna be next? Yeah, it's great, sure. And do you have some club or place you would like to play in the future? Like your dream club or?
So in London, there's a club called Phonics, which is like a really, really big club. I know we actually mentioned Printworks as well. That would be crazy. Like, honestly, because even like I played like in different places in Loughborough, but it's very, very small town. So like there weren't like anywhere near as big as London. But at the time I was like, whoa, this is crazy for me. Like it's all kind of been like going up and up. Even AVA Festival for me is actually going to be a huge like leap from anything I've done before. So it's like I'm excited and nervous at the same time. I'm quite fortunate that I've got like a couple things kind of lined up in London to kind of like keep me going, I guess, until we get to that. Yeah, but maybe Phonics or Printworks would be really big places in London.
Yeah. I mean, I love the Printworks, how it looks like inside. It's
and
amazing.
The lights.
It's
like and the setup.
And the light, yeah, everything. It's amazing and cool. So yeah, I actually do you have some advice for aspiring on emerging DJs? You are at the beginning also, but you know, like you have something, you want AVA, so you can say some advices.
I definitely say like different advice is kind of, you have to almost play different genres and stuff to find out what style you like. Because even like as I started playing, I think I actually started playing as tech house because people told me that was a bit easier to learn from the beginning. And you just, yeah, because someone asked me at the beginning, what genre do you want to play? And I was thinking, wow, I don't actually know yet what genre I want to play. So you kind of, and even now that's why I still play like disco and techno, because I like both. So that's a very good starting point. Yeah. I think like finding songs as well, like that's such a big thing. Well, there's the whole thing about like actually learning how to DJ and like the beat matching and stuff. But I think once you have that technical stuff down, like that doesn't really go. You've got that down. The bit that where you can really grow is like your song selection and like you're developing your own style. And I think that's kind of makes like the really good DJs.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Yeah. So is there a substantial difference between playing on the radio and playing in the clubs? What is so different about it for you?
Yeah, so like obviously one big thing, because quite a few of the radio shows I've been doing is actually where you record the mix in advance and you just send it to them and they'll play it. So again, it kind of just feels almost like recording a mix. But when I do it, I'm like, oh yeah, I want to make it really good. So there's kind of almost, it's not always live. So that's like quite a big difference. The second thing obviously is the audience. Like you're not having that kind of, again, that live reaction of people. So you're more just like playing. It feels almost like you're playing for yourself, even though you know people are going to be listening. And that it's been quite weird because like when I have had radio slots, like some of my friends will text me like, whoa, this song's so good. And I'm like, it's weird because I'm not actually doing it right now, but I'm like always listening back to myself like, oh yeah, that was great. So that's quite a weird experience almost. I think like nothing can compare to like actually playing with people and having that energy really. But it's definitely really good that we're still able to do like all these mixes and radio shows and stuff. This is something actually new that I haven't spoken to you about before because we have had a couple chats, but I might be getting a radio show in London. I'm not going to say just yet because it's like in the works right now, but I will keep you updated if that happens.
Great.
Starting maybe next month, but yeah. So I've been like emailing at different places.
Okay, great. When you show up at the venue, what elements make it enjoyable and fun to play for you?
I think it's like really nice if you can all the venues I've played at, like people have been really nice. Like you can kind of talk to like the people who own the venue or like the contact for the event or whatever. And they're usually really nice. And it's like a way to like, again, grow your contacts. Venues itself, Yeah, it's always exciting for me because I just have like a controller at home. And obviously, as soon as you get to a venue, you've got like the proper CDJs and stuff. And I actually remember this when I played at Brixton last time, the decks were like proper like up here on like slanted things. And I was almost too small. Oh, this, I'm not like that tall. And this happened at AVA as well. They actually gave me a box to stand on. I sound really small. I'm not really small. I'm like 5'5", 5'6". But compared to the other two, I was really small. So they gave me a box to stand on when I was DJing. But that was nice.
That's so cute. That's cute. Oh, yeah. But yeah, they are very friendly. They did that and nice too. So yeah. Okay, how do you search for the gigs? Do you have any advice on how to be successful at getting the local gigs?
So like with the London radio stuff at the moment, what I'm doing is I've been like kind of, first of all, like reaching out on Instagram to different radio places. And then normally what they do is they say, can you email me with like some recent mixes and like, it sounds almost annoying, but I think that's the best way, especially in London, because it's such a big scene. You have to be like kind of pushing yourself, making new mixes and sending it to people. When like things actually start opening up again, like luckily in England, it's April now, but like in a couple weeks time, they'll start doing like sit down events again. And that would be really good just to like kind of go to and then, I guess the thing is like trying to talk to the people running the events. I don't know how that's going to work if we're all meant to be sitting down on our own tables, but that's like quite a good thing. Cause in Loughborough, again, that's how I did it. Like I just got involved at the end just cause I was purely interested. Cause even when I first started getting involved in events, I wasn't DJing. I was just doing it cause I liked the events.
Yeah.
And like, if I sold tickets, I'd get free tickets. Yeah. And then it just kind of grew from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you tell us about your experience of teaching someone else how to DJ? Did you do that? Like teaching or you were just like learning from someone?
Yeah, so I learned from like different friends at uni and like, yeah, that was quite useful. And it was just like, I'd go to their house or whatever and like just try to play with their music to see how I liked it. And then I like got my controller. In terms of teaching other people, I actually haven't taught that many people, but this is quite interesting actually. When I was younger, when I was like, I think 16 to 18, I actually used to teach some kids piano. So maybe I would actually be a good DJ teacher as well.
Great, yeah.
So yeah, I think when I was uni, I actually showed this one girl a bit of like, and like when my friends have been drunk, I've shown them a little bit of like how to DJ, and like, but really I'm like actually pressing the button. But yeah, maybe I would be a good DJ teacher actually, I don't know.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you're on the way, but still, like, we will see in 3 years maybe.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. What do you have some strange addiction?
Oh, that's such a good question. Well, especially like this last year. Well, actually, I always liked on TV. I love like reality TV. I don't know if that's embarrassing. Yeah. Like, I love Love Island. That's a bit cringy, maybe.
Okay.
That's different stuff I like. I don't know if that's strange, but I guess that's quite an addictive thing.
Yeah, sure. I mean, not everybody has strange addiction. That's just a question. Like, some people don't have, but, like, I think people have. But it's up to you if you see it, like, strange or not, you know? Yeah. So that's the thing. And what is your big goal in your life?
So obviously, like, I guess it's not like specific, but like getting, like, as we said, like more and more like DJing and then like getting better as a DJ, that's always like a thing. And also outside of DJing, I'm like trying to be quite into running. So basically one day I'm gonna try and run a whole marathon. So that's quite a big thing. Yeah. So I guess those are goals. I don't know if they're like life goals, because I feel like I can do them kind of soon. That's just like ongoing, isn't it? like general life goals is just to kind of like be happy, like kind of in this musical world and like physically, because musical is almost like the mental health, like for me. So it's just like just being like kind of good and happy in those two different areas, like, and also like I guess academically. But I don't know, that's just kind of like work, isn't it?
Yeah, great. Sure. Really good goal in life is to be happy. So yeah. And also be a good DJ is the best, yeah. Actually, how do you see this last year? As you said that you started and you moved to London and everything, like being in a music scene, how was it, like in your opinion, in the pandemic times and stuff, you know?
It has been difficult. So I moved to London because I finished uni. That's kind of why. So but I've been, as I said, I've been fortunate that there's been like different radio shows and things that I've managed to get involved with, and like these kind of sit down events. It sounds so weird calling them sit down events, but that's literally what they are. Like you have to stay at your table. You're not supposed to get up and dance for free or whatever, like kind of thing. So yeah, it's been good that there's definitely been those opportunities. And I think it's also, in a way, it's pushed me, because normally, like, when I was at uni, I was DJing and stuff, but I never really had time to make that many mixes or, like, kind of just time in my room to, like, kind of really, really think about my songs, especially because uni was so busy as well. So it's been good, in a way, to have way more time to, like, make mixes and, like, with before, like, so kind of September to December, I was, like, making mixes like every week, and like it was really pushing me as well to like pick different songs and stuff, so that was really good actually.
So you had a time for searching for new music, like a lot of time, right?
Yeah, and kind of like I guess it's just what everyone else could do as well, like kind of grow, but like you're still in your room. It was like going back to being a bedroom DJ.
Yes.
But it's so funny because like my mixes, like when I first started like 3 years ago, I have some of them saved that I'd listen to them. I'd be like, this is so weird. Yeah. Like I was like completely just jumping all over the place. I was trying to like spin the decks and it would sound really unnatural.
Yeah.
So I definitely improved a lot. Even the mixes I made a couple of months ago, when I listened back to them, like, now I'm just being rude about myself, but some of the mixes I made a couple of months ago, I'm like, I don't know if they're that good. I feel like I've even improved since then.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, sure. And actually, imagine the audience in front of you in your bedroom, you know, and playing for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. That's great. Are you thinking of starting the music production?
Also, yeah, I've kind of been learning. At the moment, it's kind of like a long process. Like, I've been trying to, like, make different tracks. I've been trying to do some remixes as well. And I'm like, oh, I'm not sure if this is very good. But I think with producing, it definitely takes even longer than DJing, I think. I feel like it's just such a big thing. Like, there's so many different things to learn. I'm using YouTube a lot. YouTube's been my friend for this. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So tutorials and stuff, yeah. Okay, so my last question is, what do you manifest in your life?
I think it's just, again, this whole, like, trying to be positive. Because, like, even when you've asked me these questions about, like, the pandemic and stuff, like, it has been really a difficult time, but I've tried to kind of pick out, like, the positive things about it anyway. I do generally try to stay, like, really positive and stuff, and, like, bringing, like, a good energy to people. I don't know if that sounds cheesy, but that's definitely something I like to do, even, like, if it's DJing or, like, just, like, chatting with my friends or whatever. Like, that's the kind of, like, lifestyle I like to have and everything. So yeah, that's what it is, I think. And like, I know it's been really tough this like last year, but like we're kind of almost coming out of it now. Like I feel like, you know, in a couple of months towards the end of this year, I'm hoping like we'll be back in the clubs, hopefully at AVO Festival in September, all of that. Yeah, yeah. So I think that's exciting.
Yeah, after a long time, it's going back, well, not back, it's going to the future, but the better one.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So yeah, sure. It's pretty exciting, and sure, it's like staying safe and positive, as you said. It's the most important. But yeah, we need clubs. We need parties.
Yeah, we do. We do. Definitely.
For sure, because it's a good positive energy there, so we need it. Yeah. So thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time, and that you said yes for asking you some questions, and we are happy we could have you here with in our podcast. And
thank you so much for having me as well.
Yeah, it's great, and we are excited for you that you have like big events in front of you. So wish you good luck there in the upcoming year and your music career as well, and also in your personal life. So
thank you.
Yeah, so you were listening to Thermostat Q with Emita and the guest DJ Farhana here in another episode. Bye.